In addition to my role as your pastor, most of you know that I also have the honor of working for Bishop Quinn as the moderator of the Diocesan Curia. Several times a month, the bishop meets with all of the priests in his cabinet together, the vicar general, the judicial vicar, the vicar for clergy, the rector of the seminary, and me. And every single time the bishop has a meeting with all of us, we always, without exception, have an hour of adoration of the Blessed Sacrament before the real body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus exposed in the monstrance. It is a powerful hour of prayer. We are together in total silence with the Lord on Mount Tabor before we come down the mountain to discuss the business of the diocese. Before we have to occupy our mind with earthly things, we set our hearts on the things above, not of what is on earth. Now, the only problem with our hour of adoration is that the bishop always wants us to pray together at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. As you know, this is absolutely the worst possible time of day to pray. Right after lunch. There is no way that I can stay awake to enter into silent contemplative prayer with our Lord at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. By 1:15, all of the priests know that I will be nodding off and doing the litany of the head bobs, desperately trying to stay awake at that hour of the day. You can no doubt see that I have a great deal of sympathy for our friends Peter, James, and John in today's gospel. Although both St. Matthew and St. Mark tell us about our Lord's glorious transfiguration on Mount Tabor, only St. Luke tells us why they went up the mountain. To pray. And in the midst of their prayer, only St. Luke tells us that little embarrassing detail that Peter, James, and John had been overcome by sleep. But becoming fully awake, they saw his glory. In just a few weeks from now, on Holy Thursday night, Jesus will take the same three future saints, Peter, James, and John, and he will ask them to spend a night of prayer with him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And guess what? Once again, they will be overcome by sleep. The poor guys. Every time they pray with our Lord, they fall asleep. So I'm in good company as I'm trying to stay awake during our holy hour with the bishop at 1 o'clock through the litany of the head bobs. I often pray to our three sleepy apostles. At RCIA class this past Thursday, Deacon John told us that Jesus so desires to spend time in prayer with us. Last week, on the first Sunday of Lent, Jesus invited us to spend 40 days with him fasting and sacrificing in the desert of Lent. This week, Jesus invites us to spend 40 days with him, not just fasting, but also praying. Fasting and praying always go together. This week, Jesus is inviting us up the mountain to spend time in prayer with him. And because of my weakness, I immediately fall asleep. I can stay awake to watch the Super Bowl, I can stay awake to talk and text with my friends, but as soon as I start fingering the rosary beads, I'm out. I can't even stay awake an hour with the Lord in prayer. And yet over and over and over in St. Mark's Gospel, he constantly begs us, stay awake, stay awake. You don't know the day that the Lord will come, stay awake. Yet how often I am overcome with sleep in my spiritual life. How often I am not fully awake in my soul. I'm going through life spiritually sleepwalking. I'm half asleep in the spiritual life. Have you had that experience when you're waking up from sleep of being in kind of a fog and a haze, and you're coming back to the real world trying to distinguish truth from a dream? When my little niece, Catherine Ann, wakes up from her afternoon nap, she's like, oh, she's in a fog for like an hour. She doesn't know where she is. She can't walk straight. She's not fully awake yet. I had a dream this past week that's quite funny. I had a dream this past week that I bought a motorcycle, which is pretty funny. But it's not so strange because a couple of days ago, I had a Culver's walleye fish sandwich sitting next to a Harley Davidson at the restaurant. And then on Wednesday night at supper at the hospital with the bishop, he told the story of how he never, ever, ever wants his priest to buy a motorcycle. The last time the bishop heard a priest wanting to buy a motorcycle, he called up the priest and said, I will pay you not to buy a motorcycle. So it's not so strange that I had this dream. And as I was waking up, there was a moment there, you know, where I thought it was real. And I'm panicking, like, oh, the bishop's going to be mad at me. But then I became fully awake and was relieved that I did not really buy a motorcycle. This is how it is in the spiritual life. In that moment when you wake up and you're half asleep, half awake, and you're not sure what is reality. As the apostles were waking up on Mount Tabor, I wonder if they thought, did I really see Jesus transfigured in glory on Mount Tabor? Do I really see Jesus in this cloud of glory and splendor? No, it's just a dream. It's a mirage. It's an illusion. Our Lord's glory on Mount Tabor was not a dream, a mirage, an illusion, a figment of their imagination. St. Luke tells us clearly that the apostles were fully awake when they saw his glory. Just as our Lord's resurrection will not be a dream, a mirage, an illusion, it will be the real, glorified body of our risen Savior. I want to be fully awake to the glory of God. I want to be fully awake this Lent to the love of God. I want to be fully awake to the love that he has for me as one of his own beloved sons. I don't want to be just dreaming that he loves me with an unconditional sacrificial love. I want to see it clearly. I want to be fully awake to the mercy of God during this Jubilee year of mercy. I want to see clearly our Lord's great desire to forgive and to forget all of my sins. You probably can see how the apostles being overcome with sleep and then becoming fully awake is a metaphor for what will happen at the end of our life. When we die, the Bible says that we will fall asleep. And then we will become fully awake and alive in the next life. And by the mercy of God, we hope to see his glory. Yet the Lord wants to show us glimpses of his glory now. In this life. Now he wants to show us mini transfiguration moments of his glory and splendor and divinity. Oh dear Lord, give us the grace not to sleep through this Lent during this extraordinary Jubilee year of mercy. Give us the grace to be fully awake in our soul so that we can see your glory both now and in eternity. Amen.